Please roll sound.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final hour of the show, 60 minutes on the clock as we take you all the way till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. All you got to do is keep it tuned right here to ESPN 97.5, the number one sports station in Houston. And it is with great pride we get to say that, so that's very cool. The red carpet is underway at the All-Star game.
Oh, yeah?
These poor guys, at least with like the NBA All-Star game, they made it where you had the rest of the week off because the guys that play in the game get punished. But when you think about it, and the Stros are one of the six teams, I believe, that come back early and have to play Thursday this week. So if you're one of the six All-Stars from the Stros, you get no time off because right after the game Sunday, which went long, you had to fly to Cleveland. You had a full day of press and all the other things before you got into the home run derby and all the things last night. Then you go right into, you can't even rest during the day because you got red carpet starting at like 2 p.m. for a game that night. And then Wednesday is a travel day, getting ready for wherever you start the
Thursday with the Rangers.
But I'm saying Wednesday is the travel day. So yeah. You probably sleep in the hotel in Cleveland, get your stuff together. And then if you're playing in Arlington, you don't go home. You probably just go directly to the city that you opened up the second half with.
Crazy.
That's a tough schedule,
man. Yeah, especially if you're Alex Bregman. I mean, he's playing in the, he's home run derby, all-star starter.
Yep.
Not going to get a lot of rest. Hopefully he doesn't play, maybe one or two at-bats the most.
I think he also said afterwards, though, he goes, that's my last home run derby unless they want me to do it in Houston. Because, again, when you're talking about these big dudes that are getting rewarded for 440-foot shots and all that, he's just trying to take them all down the line and pull them so that they hits the short porch. Yeah, I felt for him. He gave it a heck of a try, but I'm with him.
Yeah, he did.
And it's always good to see an Astro in there. But, like, I think you were talking about it with some people on Twitter, too. But the fact of the matter is, if you take a young guy that hasn't proven himself on the major league level yet and is basically kind of living off of his minor league stats and his dad's name and Guerrero Jr., then, if Alvarez keeps hitting the ball the way he's hitting for the Astros, through this end of this year and he goes into next season, give that big boy a chance. Because now you're talking about a guy that everybody wants to see the power of. When you talk about the size of Aaron Judge, the size of an Alonso, well, I would put up Yordan Alvarez in that same category. Put that man on that stage.
That would be fun.
It really would.
I wouldn't be upset if those names that you just mentioned. I mean, let's be real. And they've got to produce, though, because they're going to go out and get guys that have that many home runs by the break. But a home run derby of Vlad Jr. and Yordan Alvarez and Alonso and Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton and even Gary Sanchez. I mean, you could go down the list, and if it weren't for injuries and other things, we might have had that. I mean,
I would have liked to see
Jock Peterson. Yeah, Yelich would have been fun too. And it goes almost back to what we were talking about in the previous segment, where there's just a lot of good power hitters now. So you can blame the ball if you want. But also, dudes are bigger, stronger, have better analytics and video, but it's just better hitters,
but
better
just
power
science
hitters,
too. So you're talking about from an analytics standpoint, from the science of training is more specified, and they have more baseball-related training, both weight training, endurance training, all these different things. So that's why you're seeing these guys that have more bat speed, quicker wrists, more extension. They're doing all these things that is making the game better and more exciting and shows you the true athleticism of the players playing it. So it's great because we're talking about all these big guys. Then you talk about Yelich. Yelich is tall and skinny.
Yeah, he shouldn't have that
much power.
Boy,
his torque.
Yeah.
He leads all of baseball in home runs.
I tell you, everybody wants more extension.
Here we go.
And there's, what?
Did you read that Blue Chew copy again?
Nobody wants wobbly balls, and everybody wants, more extension.
Boy.
Lame! On their stick.
You have been.
No. El Jefe sent out a tweet that's like, I'm mad I got this out late, but watch out, Glenn Davis. And he took our show name off and put Soccer Matters.
I saw
on
that.
Because
yeah.
we talked about soccer.
It was fantastic. I liked
that's
it.
That's outstanding.
Yes. Yep. That's our guy.
Let it never be said that we don't discuss soccer.
That's right.
How about that?
Maybe a day late and a dollar short, but
that's right. Everything. You guys were talking Major League bow hunting like not too long ago, right?
We've talked cricket. We've talked Formula One.
Yeah. High lie.
Yeah.
Or is that cricket?
I don't know. High lies in a racquetball court with those,
I don't know.
With those macaroni noodle like wand things. I've seen them play high lie. When I was in college and we were on our spring trip playing baseball.
Lacrosse?
It's kind of like a cross between racquetball and like a lawn sport in the backyard. It's got like the hi-a-lai has like
it's ja-a-la.
But it's pronounced hi-a-lai. Yeah. And it's like a half a macaroni noodle and the ball slides through it and you can throw it at high velocities off a wall and I've seen them play it.
You have?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, and like a racquetball
court.
That's
wild.
Yep.
And they got on helmets?
Oh, dude, that ball travels at a pretty high rate of speed.
Do they wear goggles? Because that'll put an eye out.
I think so.
Do they?
I think you're supposed to, just like racquetball.
These guys aren't wearing goggles, it doesn't look like.
They're tough.
Safety first. That's highlight players.
They're a highlight player, man. They just rub some dirt on it, and they go right back at it.
It's basically racquetball hockey. So it's hockey, so they're tough.
If you could actually explain to me the rules of cricket, by the way, too, I'd be indebted.
I mean, you know, you want to you get the ball and the guy hits it and then you make sure
you got to hit the sticks and if you hit the sticks you're rewarded but if you miss the sticks the guy behind the sticks could catch it and
not even
I know that
some of these guys are wearing Mickey Mouse jazz hand gloves, other guys got to do it barehanded. I don't get that.
I know that a cricket match can take 7 years to complete and the score is like 1,350 to 473 and it'll take 5 years to play a cricket match.
It's going to take 5 years to get over the fact that we just tried to talk about that in a segment.
How about CC Sabathia throwing out the first pitch of the All-Star game? How cool is that? I'm bringing that back.
I looked at you going, CC Sabathia is in uniform. He's wearing baseball pants and everything. What the heck is he doing out there? He's not an All-Star.
Yeah, he just got invited. The core, I guess, had invited him to throw out the first pitch
That's because he started his career in Cleveland?
I don't know.
Because he did.
Probably.
So I would say.
Yeah, that was back in the day when Jim Rome would make fun of him calling him Cookie Cookie. That's what CC stood for.
Oh, really?
Cookie Cookie.
I see that, you know, obviously, and I think MLB does a good job of this, but they had Kenny Lofton, Jim Tomei, some of the classic Indians players come back during a lot of the festivities.
Yeah, they were playing the softball field. Game.
Yeah, they were also on the field for the Home Run Derby.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, so cool stuff there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure while CC's still playing, you should have him throw out the first pitch, especially when he plays for the Yankees.
Hey! Yeah. Speaking of the Indians,
oh yeah,
there's a trade rumor out there that might perk up the ears of Astros fans for many different reasons, and I got this from MLBTradeRumors.com, but it says there is interest around the block in Bauer, Tyler Bauer, Trevor Bauer,
Trevor
whatever.
Bauer. Yes,
there is interest around the block in Bauer. One official told Joel Sherman of the New York Post, the Astros are said to be among the most interested. Houston has questions in its rotation now beyond JV, Garrett Cole, and Wade Miley. And Verlander's the lone member of the trio who's under contract past the season. Bauer would somewhat help cover for the potential exits of Cole and Miley in 2020. One, I would be all in to add Trevor Bauer to this Astros rotation, first and foremost. The interesting things would be, and we've discussed this before on the show, but he and Bregman don't get along, and he and Garrett Cole are heated, hated rivals.
From college. They both pitched on the UCLA staff together.
So you wonder, is this a case where if they really are pursuing him, have they gone to them already and said, hey, can y'all squash this in the pursuit of another championship?
In a different way, Barry, this is exactly what they did with Osuna.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
When they brought the Osuna situation, the potential trade to McCullers and Verlander, some of the outspoken guys.
Can you make it work?
To see, yeah, and exactly. Right. And the thing that really I think I like more about Trevor Bauer is because he's free at the end of the year, and he's already done this. We know he's a little quirky and out there, but he did that whole article before the season started where he made reference to the fact that the rest of his career is just going to play on one-year deals, and he's going to bet on himself. So if he's going to be free and he's only going to be signing one-year deals, if you're Jeff Luhnow, you go, look, I'm not giving you a boatload of prospects because I really am only going to have this guy through the end of the season. And he's probably going to go and try and get the most money and go somewhere else and do his thing. So if we can make it work where we maybe give you one good prospect and we get him, then I like the fact, because we know that Luno is very, very, he's gotten more protective of his prospects in the last couple of years. And I don't think he wants to, nor should he have to, give up a whole lot for a guy that's a rental.
I agree, but you know that's not going to be the case.
Well, if there's, like, and this is what
we the price back is to. Going to be high for Bauer.
Sure it is.
And because the Indians don't think that they're out of it yet, but they know that they've got to do, you know, make some decisions on some players.
Well, they also know that after this season, from a financial standpoint, that's why Brantley, they let him go. Yeah. That they know with Kluber already with a big deal.
And he's been questionable as of late.
They're going to have to let guys go, and they want to get something for him before they just watch him walk out the door.
Yeah.
And here's what I got to get back to what I've said in the last couple of weeks is, this is why it behooves Jeff Luno to get going now. We saw yesterday the Red Sox out there trying to find a frontline starting pitcher. Now we hear that the Red Sox and the Twins have already tried to make package deals to try and get Marcus Stroman and Ken Giles. We heard that the Yankees were trying to kick the tires on Zach and to see if the Mets would part with Wheeler. So you know that the conversations are starting to get more and more heated, more and more intense. And so you got to strike while the iron's hot now, as opposed to getting in a bidding war when a guy like Trevor Bauer, you're right, it's probably going to cost you 3-4 prospects if you get 2 or 3 teams that are involved, and you've got teams that are willing to throw money and prospects around easily, like the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Dodgers.
Well, the one thing you don't mind about giving up a little bit more for Bauer is you do have one more year of team control after this year.
Oh, he does? I thought he was free at the end of this year.
No, next year.
Okay, so then the price goes up. Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to go to arbitration with him, and then in arbitration he's probably going to win that case. He's probably going to get more than $13 million. But then, yeah, then you become a bidder because he's made it abundantly clear. So you weigh what you're willing to give up for a 2-year run. And then the question becomes, are you going to be able to sign Gerrit Cole?
Right.
And if you could, you know, then you got a pretty nice 1-2-3 going into 2020 as well. But that's a big question mark. Can they sign Cole? Can they sign Miley? So that's why this becomes the backup plan, because at least you know if you get him. If you get Bauer in a trade, you know going into 2020, no matter what, your 1-2 is Justin Verlander, Trevor Bauer. And right. Boy, you could do a lot worse than that.
No doubt. But here's the thing. That's why, getting back to your first point, it's so essential that they make sure they clear this through the clubhouse. Because one of the other reasons why the Astros are as good as they are is because they are so tight, and it's been so well documented how close and tight-knit a bunch this is in the clubhouse. And if you bring in a cancer or a guy that has legitimate issues with players on your squad, that are, it's not going to be squashed and go away. And if you talk about the fact that all through college, and then even when they played each other and they faced off on the mound against each other, that Cole and Bauer looked like it wasn't going away and it wasn't something that either guy had any interest in squashing, I don't want to put that guy smack dab in the middle of my clubhouse.
Well, so, I mean, you obviously talk to Cole. You obviously talk to Bregman. And it's one of those things where if they come to you and say, hey, we really think if we add him, we're legitimate World Series contenders, are you guys good with this? You would hope that the answer is yes.
But again, you don't want to say yes because you know it's the right thing to do for the team. When you know that, because you know that on a day-to-day basis, there's going to be real friction in that lot, in that clubhouse. I think that's a big risk, bigger than you may think.
It's funny. Someone actually asked him, "Are you and Bauer friends?" When Bauer trolled him, I think in April or something like that.
Who you talking about, Bregman,
Cole, or Bregman?
A reporter asked Bregman if they were friends, and he's like, "No, we're not friends."
Yeah, I don't imagine they are. They're pretty hated, but I still think you have to have that question. You have to have that dialogue, and if this rumor is true and they are pursuing him, then I imagine that discussion has taken place.
Yeah, absolutely. You hope so. All right, well, stay tuned, because we know this storm is upon us and it's coming this week. So who better than our weather guy, Steven Uzik, is going to get in here and he's going to talk about it. And again, if you haven't seen his work to believe in him like we do, check out sportsmap.com, because he's got a new front page article talking about everything you need to know and the spaghetti models, which are so important whether you're hungry or not when you're talking about weather. And he'll be joining us next. And before we get to that, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. Fitz Roofing is the only roofer that you should be in contact with if you need anything done with your roof on your house, whether it be repairs or a whole new roof, because they do it the best with the best products on the market. They use CertainTeed shingles, simply the best product out there, and they make sure that they do their work with great customer service before, during, and after the sale. They are so good at what they do that they are a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States have that criteria, get that status. You want it, they got it. You go Minnesota fits. Their base warranty is longer than your average roofer, and you don't have to worry about out-of-town roofers coming to your door, taking your money, and then doing sketchy work while they skip town, and you're left holding the bag and still have roof issues. You don't have to deal with that with Fitz. Check them out. FITZRoofing.com. That's FitzRoofing.com. Or better yet, call them 832-521-3001, 832-521-3001. You get a free, no-obligation inspection. They come to you. They look at your roof, tell you what they can do, and they go away. If you want them to come back, you just reach back out. They're there in a jiff, and they take care of it with just unbelievable products and services. It's the way you want to do business, and you're doing business with a friend because they are a friend of the show. So therefore, mention you heard it right here on The Usual Suspects with me, Joel Blank, and check them out. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5. Someone is ruining it. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, rolling through the final hour of the show. You have something up your sleeve.
I'm just saying, look at Nick playing Rocky Like a Hurricane when we're about to talk with Steven about the storm. I kind of thought you would have played It's Raining Men, your favorite song, but...
No, sir, that's yours.
But Rocky Like a Hurricane, very well done, my friend.
Absolutely. You are interested in the spaghetti models, though, aren't you?
I am. Right. And I'm excited for our guest.
Yeah. That's right. Joining us right now, Steven Musick, our resident weather expert and guru who not only comes on shows on ESPN 97.5 to talk weather, he also writes for sportsmap.com. He's got a really good article out up on the site right now. The title is Tuesday Morning Update on the Situation with Potential Barry. Steven, first of all, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
Now, I gotta first and foremost ask, why are you calling it Potential Barry? Is that a weather thing?
That is sort of. It hasn't officially been named Barry yet, but it probably will be in the next 24 hours or so. But okay. It's pretty certain that it'll get a name.
Okay, because I was curious why every time I saw you mentioning it or writing about it, Potential wasn't. I've never seen that in front of my name before. So, got me pretty excited.
So, when does the name become official?
Before you were born, your mom, did it call you Potential Barry?
No.
Does the name only becomes official when it gets to at least, what, the winds and everything to get to a tropical storm before it gets to hurricane level?
Yeah. So, once it reaches winds of 39 miles an hour is when it officially becomes a tropical storm and it gets a name.
Well, that's what Barry drives through school zones, so we know that that's a pretty accurate assessment, 39, 40 miles an hour.
So let's talk real quick some basics here, Steven, and get it out of the way. What is the real threat from Potential Barry to us?
I mean, to us, right now, the threat is it's minor at the moment. It's not a for sure done deal that we're getting a tropical storm or a hurricane. Right now, everything is somewhat pointing to it coming in east of here, like near the Texas-Louisiana border to maybe central Louisiana. However, where it's not out of the realm of possibility that it could get close enough to our area to give us some impact. The reasoning is because it hasn't really formed yet, the computer models are just giving it their best guess. And so once the system forms, they get a lot more data to really run with and make better predictions. And that's, if you saw the article, that's why I said a lot hinges on where it actually forms. It forms a little closer to the coastline on the North Gulf Coast. It's more likely it would stay away from here. If it dives a little further south into the Gulf, it has a little more room to make that loop back around to the northwest, which would put it a little closer, could put it a little closer to us.
See, but
right now, it's go ahead.
I've always had this question. You mentioned all these computer models, and I mentioned the spaghetti models, which there's like 15 different versions of where the direction it could go. But the other thing, the one thing that really kind of puzzled me is, why do we need a European model? We know that we're in the United States, and we have plenty of talented people in meteorology that can figure out which way this storm could go. But then they always go, well, the European model has it going this way. Well, how the hell would they know? They're in Germany.
Well, I really hate to bust the bubble here, but the European model is, unfortunately, at times, superior to our American model. And this year is a little bit different, and I think the European model is getting a little bit more credence this year because last month the Weather Service did an upgrade, or upgrade in quotes, on the American model, and it's a little bit controversial, and it's a little bit untested, so people are a little wary of its outputs right now because it's still kind of new, and people are still trying to figure out, you know, how it deciphers these things.
So, Stephen, is there any potential that this storm, potential Barry, ends up like a Hurricane Harvey situation or an Alicia where it stalls out, even if it doesn't become a powerful hurricane?
No, I have not seen anything that indicates that. Everything looks like it just gonna cut. It would, wherever it lands, just move on through and keep on trucking. You know, back off to the north once it makes landfall. Wherever it does hit, we'll get a lot of rain because, you know, these storms produce a lot of rain regardless of how fast they're moving. But it's not. It does not look like a situation where it's gonna just sit and get stuck for a week.
So no guarantee, because I saw in the article, no guarantee we're even going to get rain from this thing, depending on where it makes landfall. I think you said something about even if it hits Beaumont, we're on the clean side. We may not even get any rain here in Houston because of it.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. It's a very much a feast or famine kind of impact from this storm, because everything that I've seen right now makes it look like a pretty small storm in terms of its area. So it may not be all that wide where, you know, if potentially it comes in around Beaumont, we may not even see anything over here in the Houston area except for even more hot weather. Because when you're on that clean side, that close to the clean side, you tend to get even hotter temperatures than you otherwise would.
So when we're looking at all this, you're talking about, and I've heard the same things, mostly water flooding, rain-related issues for the people of Houston. But I also heard when they're prepping for this, people still shouldn't take it lightly. They should still make sure that they have their little survival kit with water and all the different things they need. And that if they don't have it, I heard one report say by midday tomorrow that it would be very hard to get. What can you tell the people to prepare for and be ready for as we get closer to the day when this storm hits?
So I think it's always best to kind of have at least you know, somewhat of a stockpile of supplies of water, batteries, you know, flashlights, food, things like that. It doesn't hurt to have it. We are pretty much at the beginning of hurricane season still, so this probably won't be the last storm that forms. You know, none of them, other ones may affect us, but some of them could. So it's good to always have that stuff, you know, available, because, you know, once the hype machine gets going, people are going to rush out to the stores, and if you're one of them, you may find empty shelves. So it doesn't hurt to have an extra couple cases of water, you know, in the garage or something, just to hold on to them. And then after hurricane season, but you just drink it. It's no big deal.
So what's the chances that you have a weather station at your house, Stephen?
I used to. I was going to get one, and then my wife yelled at me.
What?
So because Barry's wife didn't yell at him, he still has one.
What's wrong with that? Why does that bother you? I have a weather station.
It's weird. Like, this is
the Stephen's weather guy doesn't
business.
Have a weather
yeah.
station.
Why does
the
guy doesn't even have one?
I'm envious of you, Barry.
See?
I'm in the market for one.
Huh? I got a 5-1.
Yeah,
I'm a badass, Stephen.
That
check
sounds,
yourself,
you, you
all right?
You know how to read the dew point?
What the hell is a dew point?
Exactly.
Don't even get me started on the barometric pressure. No idea what the hell that is.
If he got a 5-1, you got enough barometric pressure. I'm telling you right
all
now.
All I know is it tracks rain and wind, and I don't even use the wind, but I know what the hell a mile per hour is. So,
well, Stephen, we appreciate your time, and we've already told people, read the article that's already on sportsmap.com. I assume as this thing gets closer, you'll be updating Sportsmap with other updates for the folks as well.
I will.
There you go. Thanks, man. We appreciate the time, and we appreciate you being a suspect as well. Steven, the weather guy, right there. And hopefully, if things are come down to necessity, we'll have him back on again if we have updates for you people so that you get the most up-to-date information you can get. Speaking of that, I do want to tell you about the people at Infuse Energy, too. Information for you guys that I have is that I switched to Infuse Energy a little over 2 years ago, and I have just had fantastic results. I saved thousands over the bills that I got from my previous energy company, and they can do the same thing for you. You can check them out at Infuse Energy. Energy.com, but I encourage you to call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Right off the top, if you mention ESPN 97.5, you're going to get a $25 bill credit. But more importantly than that, they're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them until they pinpoint the best rate and the best deal they can possibly give you. Because they're affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. And their main goal is to provide you with a great deal that is tailor-made for your usage, whether it's for your business or your family in your home, whether you use a lot of energy on the weekends or weeknights. They'll make sure that they tailor-make this program so it's all about you and your usage and not just a common program they give to everybody. They're so honest with you that if there's another company out there that can beat their rates, they're going to let you know. Because when you walk away, they want to make sure that you feel like there's a company I can trust that has my back, that didn't try to screw me over. And that's exactly what you get with Infuse Energy. They got a 5-star rating out of 5 stars. From the PUCT, that's the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. Can't get better than that. If you need great ratings and great results, you need to get to Infuse. Check them out. Infuse energy into your life. We're going to be back in 60 seconds with the final half hour of the show, so don't you go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to the final half hour of the show. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. All right here on ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio as we roll through another good day on the show. As we got ready to go on the air, Russell Westbrook tweeted out, "I'm gone-y," G-O-N-E-E-E-E, exclamation mark, but with no explanation. You have people out there now that are tweeting that there is a new, I don't want to say leader in the clubhouse, but there is a new team involved in the mix. If you have missed previously, the Rockets were a long shot. The Pistons, the Timberwolves, and the Heat were all thought to be the teams that were going to be involved. Now the Chicago Bulls are rumored to be one of the front runners. And in the package that's being suggested on Twitter, Westbrook would go to the Bulls for a combination of Zach LaVine, young guard Chris Dunn, Cristiano Felicio, a 2020 first-round pick, lottery protected, and that would be enough to get it done. That Chicago then would still keep a good young nucleus and put Westbrook in the middle with a bunch of shooters, while the Thunder achieved their goals of getting fully under the luxury tax, getting a young, intriguing player or two like LaVine and Dunn, and then getting another first-round pick to add to that haul that they got when they traded Paul George. Doesn't seem like the Thunder's getting a whole lot back for him.
If any time you hear a player described as intriguing, it's a bad deal for that team.
I don't disagree with that.
Intriguing? No, thanks.
That really basically says you haven't lived up to your potential.
Plus, you're going to get a guy by the name of Cristiano Felicio. That's not going to work.
That's not the name. RuPaul is intriguing.
Bigger than chicks.
Okay. What? There was three things. What did you say?
That was just me being a suspect.
Yeah, okay. I said Felicio's big with a chick.
That's not what you said.
I did.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I think you would get more, right?
I
because would. Because you talk about the Miami deal.
For a guy like Russ, you would think they would, but maybe nobody else wants to deal.
The front centerpiece from a Miami perspective in the deal would be Goran Dragic. Big money that's going to expire at the end of the year. Get that off the books. Save a boatload. Can get some young prospects still from Miami as well and probably achieve more than you can with this deal. I mean, Zach LaVine's already had a major knee surgery. So he used to be a high flyer and he can still jump. There's always been some suspicion about how good of a shooter he can be. He improved his shot last year, but you don't know how good he's ever going to be. But as always is the case, when you trade a superstar player, it's very, very rare, if ever, that you get equal value in return.
Yeah.
Especially if people know you're bargaining or you're negotiating from a point of weakness. And most of the times, if you're trading a star, that's the case. And that's why. Because they know Russ wants out.
Especially when he's tweeting.
And Oklahoma City doesn't want what happened in New Orleans with AD to happen there. And I don't think Russ would do that. I think Russ, and this isn't a knock on AD, but I feel like Russ is a bit more professional. He would still go out there and play. He's just going to play angry.
Which he does anyway, right?
Yeah, angry Russ is a good Russ. But I think that they know, you know, if they do it now versus later, it probably has, they probably get more offers.
But both sides, after he met with the Thunder yesterday, were in total agreement. They want to get this thing done sooner rather than later so everybody can move on.
Yep.
The one thing that I did mention to you guys that Sam Presti has to take into consideration, more so than if you're in a major market like the Bulls and the Lakers and the Clippers and teams that have wallowed in mediocrity and the Knicks, is the fact that in a small market like OKC, they have never really experienced mediocrity or worse. Because when they got there, they had a young Kevin Durant. They were able to build around him. They got better every year. Then they had this long run of teams that were making the playoffs. And now all of a sudden, you're not talking about Russ or KD or anybody else. You're talking about the cupboards being bare with a bunch of draft picks. And the, one of the most loyal fan bases in the NBA suddenly is going, well, do I really want to go watch this team? Do I really want to support this team?
Well, are you that loyal or not?
I mean, look, yeah, this right. And by the end of all this, if everybody they don't play their cards right, hey, they may have been like the Astros a couple years ago and set themselves up, but by the time they get to see it come to fruition, they may be playing in another city.
Yeah.
Nah, well, I don't think that's the case.
Barry, I'll tell you this. Way. Because the other thing, what we have with the Fortune 500 companies in Houston and a lot of the major cities, the sponsorship opportunities come for all over to sponsor this team. But in Oklahoma City, you really don't have very many big companies, and companies like Chesapeake Bay and other companies and oil companies and things like that. You have a few that sponsor the team, but it's a really more difficult sell. And it's tougher to get national sponsors involved with them. So I've heard they have some issues when it comes to sponsorships. And one of the things I've always heard from people in the NBA circles is, God help them if they ever get to be really bad.
Well,
I hope that's wrong.
I don't think the NBA is in the habit of just moving people because. And certainly just a few bad years of losing and you're going to start moving teams.
Well, think about this.
That's a real problem.
But if it's your owner who... Basically, if it's your owner or otherwise, if it's their idea to move too, that's another thing you got to take into consideration.
Well, the NBA needs to settle him down. I mean, just it's a bad look if you just go city hopping because you have a couple down years and attendance falls off a little bit. Guess what? Welcome to sports. Like, you just can't move because you have a few bad years and attendance goes down a little and revenue goes down a little. Win again.
I'm not gonna say it's impossible, Joel, and the reason why, because Seattle was a team that was viewed as a basketball town. So if you're OKC and you want to prove yourself to be a basketball town, start showing up to these games even when they suck. And that's just a brutal reality. But to your point, I think they're one of the few I don't know if it's still the sponsor, but their jersey sponsor was like a North American it was Love Shops or Love Something. It's like a family owned,
it's like a truck stop, isn't it?
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the few teams in the NBA, my point is, that it's not a national or international company, like a Goodyear or something like, Bumble. Bumble sponsored one. That's a national or worldwide company. I know we talked about the Rockets sponsor and how it doesn't make sense, but they're an international company as well. And they're one of the few teams that don't have a massive massive company sponsoring them on their jersey. So it is kind of a scary red flag.
But the your point about leaving Seattle, they left Seattle because they couldn't get a new arena deal.
Right, but that's true. The show is that they're a basketball town, and even they couldn't keep their team there.
But they didn't keep them because of advertising and losing. It was because the city didn't want to spend money on an arena.
Well, and Clay Bennett, who bought the team, is from Oklahoma, so he was like.
So again, yeah.
So, but here's the thing: we talk about this all the time. The fans want to believe it's all about winning. The owners. We'll never say this publicly, but it really is just about making money. And the fact that when I say the Chesapeake Energy Company that sponsors the arena and does so much for the team is one of the owners of the team. The guy that owns the team along with Bennett is the guy who owns the Chesapeake Energy Corporation. So if you're not getting outside of Chesapeake and a couple of big sponsors, if you're not getting that kind of support and love, especially that you got when you were winning, even the best ownership groups that are loyal with roots in Oklahoma are going to say, man, we got to make money or we got to sell this team. And if you sell it, chances are they're going somewhere else.
But there's, I don't know. I mean there's revenue sharing, there's TV deals. None of that money goes away because you suck.
But Barry, there's also a salary cap and all these salaries are going up. We're looking at teams like Golden State looking at going potentially hundreds of millions of dollars over the luxury tax, having to pay the luxury tax because of the way they spend. We see all these exorbitant salaries. What, it get to $3 billion spent in all the available players in the first 3.5 days of free agency? In order to compete, you can't just rely on a few and the revenue sharing. You've got to keep creating revenue streams that let you be competitive.
I get that, but, okay. I think we'll start talking in circles at this point. I don't think that the NBA wants to be in the business of just moving teams because the team sucks for a few years. That would be an awful business model for any sports organization. So, you know what's not awful is losing weight and not having to work out to do it. And that's what's going on with me right now with Innovative Lasers. I'm loving the program. I'm loving what I'm doing here. And they've got a great thing going. They've got the Zorona Laser. And the Zorona Laser makes sure that you lose weight without any pain. There's no needles. There's no lasers. There's no heat. It doesn't burn. It doesn't sting. I literally was laying there this morning watching videos while I'm losing weight. And they guarantee every session you will lose a half pound to a pound over at Innovative Lasers. And in the first 2 weeks, they guarantee a minimum of 3 inches lost as well. Check them out. They've got 5 locations around the city to get to, so it's easy no matter where you go or where you live. You can get a treatment. I go to the one off 1960, but they've got Clear Lake, Katy, Sugar Land, and the Galleria as well. And like I said, this is a Zorona Laser, FDA approved. I saw it on Dr. Oz, and that's kind of what sold me on the fact that it's legitimate and that it works. And I'll tell you right now, it absolutely works. For me, I'm averaging 1.5 pounds lost per treatment, and that's well above the 1 pound that they say you could lose per treatment itself. Does that mean you'll lose 1.5 pounds? No, but you won't know unless you give it a shot. I've lost 8 pounds in 5 treatments. And I'm just having great results from this. And again, I don't have to work out. I can take a nap. I can watch a movie. And the whole time, I'm melting fat out of my body. I love it. I think you'll love it, too. And they got a special right now for ESPN listeners. It's normally $2,400, but you can get it for half off if you call right now. Half off, and then they're going to throw in 3 more sessions absolutely free. Hey, for me, that's 1.5 pounds a session. That's a lot more weight that I can lose with those 3 free sessions. Give them a call right now, 281-888-3094. 281-888-3094. Or check them out online, innovationlasersofhouston.com.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final segment of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel on this Tuesday in the big city, as we have already talk to Stephen, the weather guy, about the imminent storm that is approaching. So that if you need any of that information, you can check the podcast as well as sportsmap.com, where they've also been really good about putting Stephen's stuff front and center, Fred and the gang, to make sure you have all the information you need on the storm. While you're there, you might as well check out my article I wrote on the why and why nots of Russell Westbrook and the Rockets' pursuit or potential pursuit of him. Because, you know, why not is his saying, but I don't know how many people got that in the headline, but... talked a little bit about that last night. I'll say 2 things. 1, kudos to the Thunder, because as we just talked about in the last segment, they're obviously rebuilding. Sam Presti went out yesterday and told all of the free agents that he had reached verbal agreements with that if they want to change their mind and go elsewhere because the fact that they're suddenly rebuilding, he has no problem with it. Alec Burks actually did and decided to go to Golden State. Mike Muscala decided to stay. So I give him credit for giving the That's players pretty cool. that option. And then there's the other side of the equation, where if you have an agreement with a team and they agree to pay you a lot of money, and then suddenly you renege on them, that's kind of dirty pool. Marcus Morris, who was a very sought-after wing player after his year last year with the Celtics, had agreed to go to the Spurs for $220+ million. He now, whether you call it cold feet or just a little change of heart, has decided he might want to still dabble in free agency because he heard the Knicks might have more money.
Oh, they have more money.
Oh, boy, if you're popping the Spurs, you ain't happy about that deal.
No, not at all. And if you could, that's straight cash grab if you're going to, yep, to the Knicks.
You know you ain't going to win.
No.
So you're just trying to get as much money as you can for the next couple of years.
Yep. And do you blame him, though?
I mean, here's the other thing. You also set yourself up because even though you want to play for a contender, you get the money that you feel like you deserve and want. And then about the trade deadline time, when the Knicks realize they aren't going anywhere and teams want him,
contender.
You can get to a winning
situation. That's a good point.
So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out.
That's a really good point. Text line, just the one. It says, I asked this earlier on John and Rahil with Dell, but those a-holes never read texts. Just kidding. But why not go get both Stroman and Boyd? Is it even possible? I'm done with Kyler. It says I'm done with Kyle Tucker. Is it possible?
I think you got to gut your farm system.
Yeah, I don't know that they do that kind of move. I think if they're going to add, they're going to add an arm, not arms.
I agree.
And it's either going to be Stroman or Boyd or Bumgarner or any of the other host of names you've heard, you know, mentioned. Wheeler is another, yep, name that gets thrown about and maybe doesn't get a lot of run. I saw somewhere where they were saying Jacob DeGrom should be considered.
Now possibly being considered by the Mets.
So I don't know that they add multiple arms like that. They might add another bullpen arm. They may add a sixth inning guy that they have confidence in. Because you know what? If you're going to make a trade and you're going to get – because Cleveland needs help in the bullpen. And I was thinking about this today when I saw the Tyler Bauer news. I like that. I don't.
You did good with that.
But it wouldn't surprise me if to get a guy like Trevor Bauer, you've got to go out and offer something of value, whether it be a Will Harris or something like that.
I was kind of hoping you were going to say a package deal where they include Hand along with Bauer, and you get two really good pitchers off the Indian staff. Oh, no, then I'm okay with adding some guys from your pen and some farm system guys.
No, they need help in the bullpen, and they may, because Lenny Jomon was like, why would they trade him, Barry? Why would they, you know, what would
Bauer?
Yeah, why would the Indians want to trade Bauer at this point? And one of the reasons I gave him is because what you said was he's going to go out and explore the market.
Oh, yeah,
and
we already know he's basically gone.
He's saying that it's going to be a 1-year deal, which means he's basically going to be a hired gun from year to year. So the teams with the most money, like the Cubs and the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Dodgers, are going to be the teams that are going to go out and pay him ridiculous money for a year to chase a ring.
Yep.
And then he'll hop to another team. He'll be a hired gun. And remember, you're going to get more money when a guy has some, even if it's just a year of team control, versus being a 3-month rental at the end of next season. So if they do want to move on, or they know they're going to need to move on because they're not going to pay him what he wants when he does become a free agent, then it might be wise for them to do it now so that the incentive for another team to give them a haul is you're getting a good pitcher who has team control.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be why.
I mean, that's the biggest thing. You know you're going to lose him, so don't let him walk for nothing. And, you know, now is the team, because like you had mentioned in the past too, the other thing is with no two deadlines, with this deadline being so hyper important, and you know that, again, to the markets that you mentioned, the fact that this year, unlike any others recently, you've got big-time buyers in all of those big-time cities that need exactly what you have. You're holding one of the key cards in a big-time starting pitcher because now there's so many teams that need it. And you mentioned in the National League how many teams are not out of it that are going to be searching for pitching too. So that's what you want. You want a buyer's a seller's market where all you can do is say, what's your offer? What's your offer? Well, they offered me this and this many prospects, and by the end of the deal, you get a big-ass haul coming back for a guy you know you're going to lose anyway.
I tend to agree with you, but there's not a guarantee if they think Kluber is going to remain good and Carrasco, and then they maybe can add a bat or two and get some help at the end of the bullpen, then maybe they want to be a bidder for Bauer when he becomes a free agent, right? And maybe they take care of him in arbitration so that there's not a fight. And maybe,
But you also know that they've been cutting payroll.
Right, but the Indians could try to match or beat whatever deal he gets.
At least two left.
The chances are very slim.
They've got three top-line pitchers that people would want. But again, the other problem that hurt them in more ways than one, was when Kluber got hit in the arm and broke his arm.
Yeah.
Because that set him back. Otherwise, you got to believe the market would have been pretty hot and heavy for him, and especially for a team like the Astros. Contract's already done. You don't know if you're going to sign Cole, but you could have him for two more, and you could have a guy that doesn't have any issues in your locker room.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting – I mean, the Indians have some decisions to make for sure. They've got to figure out what they think – is best moving forward for that organization, because you don't want to get caught in one of these halfway rebuilds. That's the worst thing you could do. Either rebuild or don't. Keep adding weapons and try to get better. But if you're caught in this, well, we're gonna somewhat rebuild. We're gonna keep one guy and maybe we'll. It's a recipe for disaster in baseball.
It really is.
It's why the Astros just committed and said, you know what? We're going to go lose 100 games and be awful for several years, stockpile draft picks and get better. And it worked. And that's the new model now. So that's why you see teams are like, we're done.
Well, we just got to talking about it with OKC and the Thunder and the fact that even after a long run of success, there comes a time when you got to pull the plug and restart. Indians, long run of success, have been very, very good for a very long time. Though they haven't won the World Series, they've been more than competitive. And now they're realizing the finances are catching up to them, and they're not in one of those major, major market cities where they can afford to pay everybody across the board. And they know that they've got a lot of position players with contracts that are going to be coming up. They're going to have to pay. They already have, like I mentioned, Kluber under contract with a big-time deal. And they know that Trevor Bauer is a guy that said, I'm going to bet on myself. I'm going to go and explore free agency, and I'm probably going to sign the rest of my career one-year deals with winning teams. So it's something that you have to face, and the one thing as a franchise, just like the Thunder faced, was I'd rather get a whole bunch of prospects and draft picks back than just watch a good player that I've had just walk leave out the door and sign his deal and play for somebody else.
Yeah, you never want that to happen. You never want it to be the case where you don't get anything in return, and that's, again, why – you're going to get more now than next year at this time. I really right. believe that. So,
I don't know what this is about. Do you want to?
You got a minute left.
Let's hurry up. Danny, you got less than a minute, bud.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Danny?
Hey, I was calling to talk about the possible getting Trevor Bauer. I'm a part of a couple of different Astros forums, and a lot of people are trying to say that the whole Bregman, Bauer, Cole, Bauer feud, all of that is just for show. I want to know, have you heard anything about that? Like, they just do it just to get publicity or anything like that?
No. I've heard the opposite. I've heard that the hate and the heat is real.
And I can assure you that they've basically shown it. There is no love lost between Gerrit Cole and Trevor Bauer, and that goes back to college. That has not changed.
Yeah. Be careful what you read in forums, man. That's just people that pull stuff out of their ass just to say stuff. I would put 0.0% faith in anything.
You sure that's
I
not a heart condition in a highway?
What?
That people pull things out of their ass just to say them?
I don't know what that means.
But just to give you a listen, like Danny,
like other radio stations in town.
Oh. Highway. There you go.
But just to give you, this is what Alex Bregman sounded like when he was asked if they were friends.
You guys are somewhat.
That's good.
You guys are somewhat friends, though, right? I mean, you guys.
No, we're not friends.
I mean, it doesn't get more precise and succinct than that, does it?
I mean, that's pretty cut and dry.
So, what are we doing for Way Back Wednesday before we close out?
Yeah, that's a good question. Are we doing 1991?
Are we doing Pink Valkyries?
Well, then it's only Blue Jay related. He didn't win.
So, 91 pitches? 1991?
Well, easy for you because we let you pick the theme.
I like the year. I like the year thing.
Oh, because you've already your list is done, isn't it?
Nope, not at all.
Oh, look at his face. He looks like he's
not
done a
at
little,
all. I would not do
he
that.
He did some sneaky research because you know he likes to. He'll be the first one to tell you how crappy a year was.
Oh yeah, and then you next thing you know you get a list.
I think 91 sucks.
Do you?
So no. Now he just changed it because see I'm right.
Hey, we gotta
he
go to break.
Already did the research.
We gotta go to break. I didn't send any emails to you guys, so don't check your email.
Did you?
No.
All right, Barry. It's not 91 then.
Well, it's not.
It's TBD because you know his list is done.
I mean, let me check my email real quick. Make sure.
Hurry up because you got to do a read.
Nope, I don't see an email.
Perfect. So 91.
No, see, because he's got it ready to go.
I'm down with 91.
You're an a-hole.
Wait, that's two votes. So
you win.
Barry yeah. wins. Check your emails.
Take us home, Laminac.
Check your emails.
I already sent it, so no, you're dummy. Oh,
dang it. I got to go change some of mine.
I told you. Both of you guys can kiss my
1991, baby.
Hey, guys. I want to tell you about GetUpside, man. I love this company. I love getting cash back in my pocket. And if you love money, you're going to love GetUpside as well. Go download it. Put it on your phone right now, all right? It's completely free. No catch, no hidden fees, no tricks. It's just you getting cash back. And there's so many different ways to get cash back within this app. You can do it by filling up your car. Use my promo code Barry when you install it, B-A-R-R-Y, because that's going to get you an extra bump on your first fill up. So you'll get a normal cash back offer. And then with my promo code Barry, you're going to get a bonus cash back on top of what you would normally be getting. So that's really cool right there. Then you can get money back through going to restaurants that are in the app, like Wendy's and Popeyes and Burger King and Cyclone Anaya's and Candelaria's Pizza. And you can get up to 35% cash back. And yes, there's Wendy's in town that are offering the 35% cash back. That's been validated. So check that out as well. And don't forget, you can refer friends. You don't have to do this, but if you want to get extra money, get your friends involved with GetUpside using your own promo code, and you'll start getting cash back from them as well. It's a no-brainer, guys. If you love money and you love getting cash back, download GetUpside right now to your phone. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back. Thank me later. Guys, don't go anywhere.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com.